I remember very vividly the concert. It was a concert in Washington, D.C. by the New York Philharmonic. The program was Haydn Symphony No. 87, Intermission, Mahler Symphony No. 5. And this was in 1968, September 29th, 1968. So what I'm telling you about happened 50 years ago. This was the first time I saw Leonard Bernstein conduct, and the first time I met him.
That's Ted Libby, music scholar and friend of the late, great Leonard Bernstein. Like the rest of the world, the NEA is celebrating Bernstein's 100th birthday. Ted Libby first met Bernstein backstage after the explosive Haydn-Mahler concert he just mentioned. He was only 17 years old. They remained friends until Bernstein passed in 1990. But since Bernstein's life was so rich, we're narrowing our focus today to Bernstein's favorite piece of music, Symphony No. 5 in C-sharp minor by Gustav Mahler, and his own complex composition, Mass. This piece means a great deal to Libby because he performed in it during college and later joined the cast of 189 in Vienna to perform the European premiere. But first things first, let's go back in time to the concert that changed everything for a budding music lover who eventually became an expert on classical music. After all, Ted Libby wrote the NPR Listener's Encyclopedia of Classical Music.
And when I got an opportunity to go hear him and that orchestra at Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C., this was before the Kennedy Center was built, I grabbed it and I took my piano teacher with me, my Aunt Rose, and sat through this concert. One of the things I remember most vividly about it was at one point in the Mahler Symphony, Bernstein somehow being about a foot off the podium. He had jumped so high, he was literally elevated a foot off the podium, an image that I will never forget. His athletic and expressive conducting was a sight to behold, but even more so, the level of intensity of the music making. You got the feeling that he was being animated by the music, and it was quite electric. I remember being deeply impressed by the chemistry there and by the experience. And I would come to learn that this Symphony of Mahler's, the fifth, was a particular favorite of his, to such an extent that he was buried with the score in the coffin, the score to the Mahler fifth. Interestingly, Bernstein ended up as music director of the New York Philharmonic, which Mahler had been 50 years before, and Mahler, in spite of only being there a few years, had put a stamp on that orchestra. So of all the orchestras in the world, it had the best Mahler tradition, which probably made it possible for Bernstein to then move the needle when it came to Mahler in the 1960s as music director. But the affinity that he had for that man's music clearly came in large part because of the similar nature.
I admit it's a problem to be both a conductor and a composer. There never seems to be enough time and energy to be both things. I ought to know because I have the same problem myself. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so sympathetic to Mahler. I understand his problem. It's like being two different men locked up in the same body. One man is a conductor and the other is a composer, and they're both one fellow called Mahler or Bernstein. It's like being a double man. But with him, with Mahler, the problem was much worse even. He was a double man in every single part of his...
Mahler, he was a conductor and composer who had to split his time between these two competing claims on his intelligence and his talent. But Bernstein had similar issues. He could not compose, but he also could not conduct. It was a work that he returned to again and again. He recorded it with the New York Philharmonic as part of his original Mahler cycle, which made such a huge impression. And so it really changed the game for Mahler's music. Mahler had said, "My time will come." Well, it was Bernstein, more than anyone else, who made that time come in the 1960s. There had been other champions of Mahler, including Bruno Walter, who had been his acolyte in Vienna. But Lenny so identified with this music and its vastness and its anguish and the same kinds of personal issues and seeking to embrace the multitudes, literally and figuratively, that he really signed his name to Mahler.
In fact, we're playing an awful lot of Mahler these days right here at the Philharmonic, and the reason is that this year is his 100th birthday. Imagine, he would have been 100 years old in July if he were still alive. And so we're having this long birthday party for him by playing his music every week. And I thought, why shouldn't you all be invited to this party too and celebrate with us? That's why we're going to talk about Mahler today and play some of his music for you. There's also another very special...
It has a final movement that is based on one of his earlier songs. And Mahler was known as a song symphonist, and his early symphonies, 1 through 5, all have some basis in song. But the fundamental thing is that movement goes like a shot. It is a joyous romp. And I think that happy ending to a Mahler symphony, it was really the last Mahler symphony that had a happy ending. It was the kind of rousing thing that a conductor like Bernstein, who believed in happy endings, would have found particularly fitting and appropriate to conduct. He was an ace at music from an early age and became quickly celebrated as both a conductor and composer. So when he left the New York Philharmonic in whatever it was, 1970, remember, he was still a young man. He was just over 50. He would then be able to devote much more time to composition. And that sort of brings us to Mass.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
The piece that many now consider to have been the central work of his career, certainly the most ambitious work that he wrote. Mass was commissioned for the opening of the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., commissioned by Kennedy's widow, Jacqueline, and was put on at the Kennedy Center in September of 1971 when it opened. The idea is that it is a real Mass, but Bernstein calls it a theater piece. Its title is Mass, but below that, Bernstein says, a theater piece for singers, players, and dancers. That's not surprising, is it? I mean, here's the guy who composed West Side Story. Much of his music has words. I mean, this is a key thing to remember with Bernstein. Many of Mahler's symphonies have words in them, too. Remember who got this ball rolling was Beethoven in the Ninth Symphony. So there's a through line, Beethoven, Mahler, Bernstein.
Half of the people are stoned and the other half are waiting for the next election. Half the people are drowning and the other half are swimming in the wrong direction. They call it glorious living, call it glorious living.
It was about faith. It was about what's the right thing to do, about how do we keep our sanity, what do we find that will get us through. Like many other Mass compositions, it has interpolations of other material. And in Bernstein's case, he follows the Latin text, but he also incorporates a lot of other material that is parallel. Rock, blues, lots of words that are added to this. The piece calls for a large pit orchestra, as well as a band on the stage, as well as a full chorus, male and female chorus, as well as a children's chorus, boys' choir, a group of singers and dancers who are known as the street chorus, a central figure called the celebrant, and a single boy soprano as an kind of acolyte figure. If you put it all together, it's something like 280, 270, 280, if you staff it up the way it should be. As time has gone by, the fact that this work has not only hung on, but has seemed to rise in the esteem of audiences and many people that see it, despite being a period piece in many ways, says something about how well written it is and also about what Bernstein was really trying to accomplish as a composer. A lot of critics were bothered by the fact that it went so boldly into so many different areas of music, allusions to all kinds of styles and so forth. That too has turned out to be prescient as something actually ahead of its time, rather than, you know, Bernstein raiding the trash can, so to speak. It was actually Bernstein doing something that would, over the next 40, 50 years, come to be done quite a lot in music, which is to rope in a lot of different styles of music, an eclectic approach. And it creates a tension within the piece that is supposed to be there, this tension of elements. It's not supposed to be a piece that holds together nicely. It's supposed to be a piece that's bursting at the seams, which is the way we all felt at that time. And it's the way it is now in this society. So again, he was ahead of the time.
That was Ted Libby, former director of media arts at the NEA and current arts advisor at PBS, on American musical icon and his friend, Leonard Bernstein. August 25th, 2018 would be Bernstein's 100th birthday. Happy birthday, Lenny. To learn more about the man and his illustrious career, check out leonardbernstein.com/at100. And to learn about Bernstein's work for the stage and the screen, listen to our recent podcast with Rob Capilau on arts.gov. Special thanks to Ted Libby, and a special thanks to the Leonard Bernstein Office Incorporated for the excerpts of Bernstein's voice from his Young People's Concert on Gustav Mahler in 1960. Also, thanks to Sony Classical for the musical excerpts from Mahler's Symphony No. 5 and Mass, and to Universal Music Publishing for Bernstein's composition of Mass. Full song credits are in the transcript. For the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm Adam Campy.
I saw the production at Yale that John Mauseri put together, he being the conductor of the Yale Symphony Orchestra and associate professor there, put together with students, some of them undergraduates, some of them graduates, which was extraordinary and impressed me so much with its dedication and vitality that I readily gave my consent for this production to come over to Vienna and be presented as the European premiere. I cannot stress too strongly how impressed I am with these young people and what they have given back to me for my Mass.